Broadcasting worldwide on internet radio.
Refreshing takes on legal strategies.
Straightforward answers to difficult tax questions.
Independent ideas on building wealth. The Refresher Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen.
Previously recorded with Mark as the host of The Mark Kohler Show.
Enjoy this fresh take on strategies to better live the American dream.
Well, welcome everybody to today's show. My name is Mark Kohler, and wow, I am excited to be here with you. I love doing the radio show every week. This is such a special time for me. And welcome to all you new listeners out there. If you're tuning in for the first time and someone gave you a little link to this podcast, live show, hopefully you're listening live. It makes it a little more fun. You never know what could happen. It's not FTC regulated here on internet radio, Blog Talk Radio. So for those who don't know me, I am a small business owner myself, a real estate investor, a CPA, attorney, partner in both a law firm and accounting firm, author, family man, surfer, tennis player, just kind of hanging, trying to find a little time to relax here and there, but I tend to work way too many hours a week, and I don't know, I just have a passion for the American dream and small business. I'm a workaholic. I have to admit it. That's the first step, right? I don't know what the whole 10 steps are to cure myself from being a workaholic, but I need to get on that plan. Anyway, so today's show, excited about it. It's going to be a cool show talking about talking with a serial entrepreneur, talking about entrepreneurship, starting a small business, the basics, and what you can do to blow up your business in a good way, not a bad way, but blow it up, take it to the next level. Want to sound cool here? I've got teenagers in the house, so I'm constantly working on my vernacular here to sound cool. But we're going to be talking about how to really be a better entrepreneur. What are some tricks, strategies, steps, you know, things that could help out many of you that may be at the very beginning of considering to start a small business or really at that next level. On that note, I just wanted to maybe share a quick little experience I had this week that kind of brought this whole topic to the forefront for me. I have a new client that is wanting to start a small business. They've started a small business. They're providing a certain technical service. I want to be careful talking about their business because I know they listen to the show and I don't want to put them on a, you know, make them feel like someone could figure out who they are. And, you know, there's this thing called attorney-client privilege, kind of an important thing. So anyway, but it's a technical service, one might say. Kind of, you can provide it through the internet as well, but it's tricky. It's technical, and this week they really had an opportunity. I mean, it was like one of those bigger companies called and said, "We'd like you to come and do your thing, do it, provide your service. We're flying in some big clients. We want you to show up and wow us with what you can do. We've seen what you can do. We like your style. We like you, but we're ready to pull the trigger. So can you do it? How much you're going to charge?" In fact, they even said what you're charging is already good. You know, just give us the final price. But they're like, "We want to book you." And my client was sick to their stomach, scared, upset. "Mark, I can't do this. I don't know what to do." And they tracked me down on the weekend. And found me at a family event and just said, "Hey," they're kind of friends of the family as well, but they've been working with me for years. But they tracked me down and said, I don't want to give anybody any ideas here what my cell phone number is, but they tracked me down on the weekend and was like, "Mark, I can't do this. I said, "What do you want to go? You want to go to the mall and get a job there? Is that it?" "Yeah, I'll do that. I can't do this. I can't handle this stress, this pressure. I'm like, "Well, what are you afraid about?" And they're like, "I'm going to let them down. I'm going to blow it. And I know I can't do it. I just know it. And I'm scared to death here." And now some of you that own a small business, you still can have this experience, right? Where you've got a big client that's coming in asking for something that you don't know if you can provide. Can I really provide all those widgets? Can I really pull off this event? This is something I've never done before. don't think you're above this, right? I mean, any of us could be in this situation. And this new young man, entrepreneur, was just scared to death. And I sat him down, and I'm like, dude, you can do this. This is your breakthrough opportunity if you don't step up to the plate, if you don't give it a try. Where are you going to end up? You can't run away from entrepreneurship. This is your chance, or you're going to end up working for someone the rest of your life. And he's like, oh, but, and I said, what are you nervous about? And he's like, I'm just afraid to let him down. And I go, oh my gosh, that's a great fear to have. That's wonderful, because that's going to make you work hard, and you're going to give 110%, and you probably will work more hours on this than you want, and meaning you may make less per hour, but that's okay, because you're going to cut your teeth on it, and you're going to be able to turn the corner and take your business and go and go, and you can do it, you can do it. You know, we had this big pep talk. He's like, okay, and he went outside and made a phone call to this client, talked to him. They said, okay, let's do this. And I said, tell him that you're nervous. Tell him that you don't want to let him down, but you can do it, and that you're willing to take that step. And they totally applauded him for just being upfront and honest. And they said, yeah, we still want you. We know that this is, you know, this is a big step for you, but we believe in you. And it was just an awesome weekend experience for me to see this young entrepreneur just step up their plate and just go for it. It's later this month, the big day, you know, when he's got to provide this service and all these people are working with him and flying in and all this stuff, but he's nervous, you know, and that's okay. And so I just wanted to say that, because I really felt like this show about talking with a serial entrepreneur, someone that's done multiple types of businesses and works with entrepreneurs, you know, what are they going to say? You know, what are they going to do to help someone like this? And so I wanted to have a show about that. I had a phone call today with some clients that were like, how do I start my business? So anyway, we're going to come to that. That's going to be the flavor of the that's the show. That's it. That's what the show's about today. So I'm really excited about that. Now, for those that are new to the show, what we start out with, though, every week is we have a tax or legal tip, and we're really excited about the experts we have come on the show and share a tip, and it's kind of nice, you know, it's different little things, you know, and a lot of people say, Mark, hey, every week I get a little something new, because we try to share these little things. And so I've got Dustin Johnson, our CPA and operations manager for Kohler & Ayer CPAs. He's been with us for years. He's awesome. Some of you have worked with him on the phone. He just makes sure that everything flows and that our tax team gets tax returns out the door, the accounting team gets accounting work done. Dustin's awesome, and I'm just grateful to have him here on the show. So I just want to say welcome, and what's up, Justin? Glad you're here. Let me see if we can get him here.
Hey, Mark, how's it going? It's good to be on your show again.
Dude, you're awesome. Love to have you here. Always we can get a good tip from our man, Dustin Johnson. So I hear I've been talking about this. I'm kind of excited about this tip because, folks, I have to tell you in advance that I kind of ordered up this tip. I said, Dustin, you've got to talk about this on the show. And I've been bringing up this cell phone thing for a while in some of my presentations this year, but I don't think a lot of clients have heard about this. So I wanted to bring it up, and so I kind of laid a little bit of groundwork there. So, Dustin, what's the cool news we got?
Well, the cool news deals with cell phones and the ability to write them off. In the past, before 2009, so some of this isn't really new, but in 2009, the IRS said that a cell phone is no longer a listed property. And that's a big deal because the IRS looks at certain things. And listed property are some of the assets you might use partially for personal use and also business use. And so the IRS says, hey, you need to find a percentage that is business use and a percentage that's personal use, and you can only deduct the portion that's business use. So why that's good is with cell phones not being listed property, we don't have to substantiate that business use percentage of the cell phone as much as we had to before. So we can write off a larger portion of our cell phone.
Now, why this is, and I'm going to just say it another way, is we can all write off our cell phone. The question has always been, well, I've got so much personal use because I make personal phone calls. And so a lot of CPAs, and this is what we've done in the past, would say, okay, you've got to break down how much you think is personal use and how much is business use. And the IRS has said, no, it's too much of a headache, it's not worth it, and there was a big court case and then some notices. And so really this year is when it's kind of all, it's kind of filtered down. And so we've got it finally some guidance from the IRS. And so let's maybe talk about some of the rules here. So I can write off 100% of my cell phone, and I don't have to break it into percentages. But what are some of the things we have to have in place for this to work?
Well, what we need to have in place is a landline at home. And the reason I say that is because we have to have some other way to make the majority of our personal calls. What some of these notices talk about is the personal use of the cell phone that's being used for the business is now a de minimis fringe benefit. So it's something the company is providing, and we don't have to pay taxes on it. It's a deduction for the business. But we have to have another line in the home that can be our personal use line. Again, even if we use our cell phone most of the time, we need to have this other line.
On this question, I have two cell phones. Could I say one is my personal line then?
Absolutely.
Okay. So at least say I'm in a marriage or family or whatever, as long as I have one dedicated as the family line, then the other cell phones, if they're used for business, then I can write off 100% of those phones, no matter how many calls, whoever, whatever.
Exactly. And this is the nice thing about it, because in talking with our clients a lot of times, they're like, Dustin, I'm on the phone all the time. This is my life. This is my business. I'm an entrepreneur. You know, I'm making calls at 8 o'clock at night, at 7 in the morning, whenever my clients need me. That's when I answer the phone. You know, this is a good thing from that aspect. So if there's another line in the house, we don't need to worry about this business percentage on the cell phone. We're going to take it 100% through the business.
And I really love the court case that got this going, because basically the taxpayer argument was like, hey, I need a cell phone for my business. And just because, so therefore I have a cell phone for my business, I just happen to use it for personal. It's not like I bought a cell phone and I have some other business line somewhere. I've got to have this for business. And so I think some of the other little nuances are that the IRS has said, well, you can't have a million, you know, minutes and have all these personal perks. It needs to be fairly basic. We can't get too aggressive with, and you know, it comes to this point too, Dustin. I know you wanted to talk about this. Let's say we've got a new business owner on the line listening today. If they've got $500 in income, is it wise to try to write off $2,000 in cell phone?
No, I don't think so. I think at that point we need to look and see, really, we could take a percentage at that point. Was it all used for business all the time and we only drummed up $500? Probably not. To me, that causes a red flag, and so I don't think the benefit is really there. So at that point, we'd probably take a percentage of that $2,000 phone bill and still write off a portion of it, but just not the full amount.
Yeah, I totally agree, and I love it. And you know, and this is again for some of the even the seasoned business owners on the show today listening. Writing off your cell phone is a wonderful tax strategy, and especially if you have a spouse and kids that help out with the business, we want to write off a good chunk of their cell phones, if not all of it, depending on the role they play in the business. So we as a firm want to be very aggressive on cell phone and travel and home office and auto mileage and repairs and maintenance and then all of these good things. This is good stuff. And I think this is an important notice that everybody needs to hear about. And that taking advantage of the cell phone is something that we should all be doing. So I think this is great. So, Dustin, any final words?
This is a great benefit to business owners to be able to write this off. Again, just to touch on it, Mark brought it up a little earlier. We need to make sure that it's a reasonable phone plan. We're not reimbursing ourselves more than our actual phone bill is each month and trying to write that off. Say, you know, your phone bill is $110 and you're reimbursing yourself $150 each month to say that that's covering phone. We can't do that. I like Mark's. Mark brings this up a lot. Pigs get fat and hogs get slaughtered. But cell phones is a great write-off for your companies. So, and this just makes it easier for us to take more of a deduction without having to show a lot of substantiation to the IRS, if the case may be. But
well, I love it. Well, dude, thank you so much. Dustin Johnson, CPA extraordinaire, the Chief Operations Officer for our accounting firm, K&E CPAs. And if you need to reach Dustin, just give the office a call. Dustin, why don't you throw out the phone number again? If people, again, we've got to say this. We're going to throw it out there. We've only got, a week left for LLCs and corporation tax return filings. Very, very important. And 6 weeks till your personal tax return. Well, not even 6 weeks, 4.5 weeks, 5 weeks. Personals, any final words of warning you want to give, or begging?
Begging, I guess it would be. No, let's get your information in as soon as you can. I mean, it's really tough to, for one, do some tax strategizing, and two, to get everybody done last minute. If you can get it to us the sooner the better. It'll give us more opportunities to strategize and talk about it and make sure we get your taxes done on time so that we avoid any penalties and interest. So,
and now, if we don't get our S corporation or LLC done and filed, I should say turkeys get done, tax returns get filed and completed. If we get your tax returns off by September 17th, great. But if not, the penalty is it $150 per shareholder?
It's $195 per share.
$195. Okay, $195. So everybody listening on the call, you know, you're out $200 if you miss it before your October 15th deadline. So then it gets ugly. So just don't stress, like it's, you know, don't commit suicide. Gosh, I had some clients the other day that were so up in arms. They were so upset that they had put it off, and they were so worried. And you know, this is a tax return. It's not like we're doing LASIK, you know. This is an eye surgery. So just get us your info as soon as you can, and we'll file the tax return, you know. It'll work out. So stay in touch. Dustin, thanks again for getting on the show. I appreciate it.
All right. Hey, thanks, Mark.
All right. We'll talk to you later.
Bye.
All right. Well, kind of a little – when Dustin's on the line, it kind of gives us a little unique connection there. My voice seems to get a little too loud there sometimes, but I apologize to some of you there. But just what an awesome tip, and I love talking about the telephone write-off. So good we've got that. All right. Well, let me make a couple quick announcements here before I go to the moment of our topic for the show. A couple, two, three announcements. I'll probably hit these at the end of the show as well, but let me just throw this out. Many of you may have already seen with some emails. I'm not trying to send out a ton of emails to maybe one a week, sometimes a second one at the end of the week, announcing some workshops or the videos or the webinar series. Oh, man, the webinar series kicks off in a month. It's going to be awesome. 12 webinars in a row. I'm recording new videos constantly for CFO in a Box. But anyway, the main point I wanted to make were the workshops. The workshops are really going to be great this fall. They're going to be awesome. And my first one kicks off in the Bay Area on the 22nd. We moved it from Seattle down to the Bay Area for a number of reasons hit us. Our Seattle clients were very understanding that we're already booked up there. We made it good with them and a variety of options and benefits. But I'm going to be starting on the 22nd of September. That's just in 2 weeks, just less than 2 weeks, week and a half-ish, for my first workshop. And you can look for information on my website on that. There'll be some links on the newsletter. But that's going to be the 22nd. And then October 6th, I'll be in Chicago. So if you are in those areas, immediately those are in the next 4 to 5 weeks, so I'm hoping you can come out. Price is so killer. I try to keep the price so low so everybody can come out on a Saturday. It's $300 for 6 hours of education. Bring your spouse or partner for $100. Bring your kids under age 18 for free. I want your kids to come. I love to have kids in the room and teenagers that are starting a small business. They're a lot of fun, and they ask some fun questions. So please look at the different workshops. We've got Phoenix, Orange County, Sacramento, and then, of course, we're going to finish up in Hawaii on December 1st. So you've got to make it a tax write-off. Buy your plane tickets now on Hawaiian Air. They've got some killer deals. Get out to Hawaii and come to the workshop in Pearl City, looking over Pearl Harbor. It's going to be awesome. Okay, a couple other quick radio show announcements. Next week is open forum. So if some of you are throwing out some questions on the chat line, hold your questions until next week. On the 18th will be the open forum radio show, which is a lot, you know, very interesting show, a lot of content. A lot of listeners comment always that they get something new out of every open forum show with the unique questions. If you want to send me an email this week, just put in the subject line, open forum radio show question or radio show question or something, so I can cut and paste it into my calendar so I can hit those questions. First come, first serve on questions. And I've recently been running out of time. So if you don't give me your question until the day of, sometimes I won't be able to get to it. And then the 25th, I have John Rignerud, I can never say his name, it's a European name, it's so unique. John Rignerud, I'm not lying, the most listened to radio show in the history of my shows over the last 5 years, in the history of my show, number one show ever listened to was the time he came on. And he's fantastic. He is a website social networking SEO expert. Author of a book, he's a lot of fun on the show, and his tips are incredible, and they'll help you make money on your website. So you've got to check that out. That's on the 25th of this month. So, lots going on this month. Look forward to seeing you at some of the workshops and, of course, on the future radio shows later this month. All right, now the moment we've been waiting for, serial entrepreneur. The serial entrepreneur that I want to introduce you today. Now, I hope I don't blow anybody's expectations or get someone to just turn off their computer or their phone. But this person is I think, one of the most interesting people on the radio today, and it's me, Mark Kohler. I am your serial entrepreneur today. I know some of you may be laughing, Mark, you are such a dork. I know I am. I'm a CPA. I try to be funny, and I'm really not. I'm just nerdy. But here's the thing. I kept trying to talk to several of my entrepreneurs that were quote-unquote serial entrepreneurs, and I kept talking to them about the different businesses they started or this or that, and I ended up having more stories and funny experiences and crazy things and then in my own life, and I consult with clients every day that are starting businesses, and I said, you know what? I'm a serial entrepreneur, and I've got so many stories I want to tell that I have never told before, and I'm going to tell them on this show today. This is going to get Googled out, I know, and Facebooked out, whatever. This is going to be a fun show with stories I've never told. I have made a list. I won't even be able to tell every one of these. Maybe I should list them. I'm going to. I have started in my life a minimum. Now, these are legitimate money-making businesses. Some sold for thousands of profits. Some completely failed. But I have started 13 businesses in my life, legitimate businesses, and 7 rental properties that I currently hold. So I've had rentals or real estate deals come and go, not including my own homes that I fixed up and lived in and sold, but 13 different businesses. Now, I'm just going to run through these, and I've got some stories that are going to crack you up, and I've got some tips here that are going to help you. I know will help you today, no matter where you're at. I'm starting a small business, already own a huge corporation. I can help you today with some tips. Of course, it always starts with a classic lemonade stand. I can't count how many lemonade stands as a kid, but I'm going to count it as one business. Another business I had as a kid is I know this sounds funny, but I'm going to just tell these stories because I'm just a dork. I grew cactuses and sold cactuses as a kid. Now, this may sound funny. I grew up in Washington State, in the desert of Washington State. It's known as the High Desert. It's kind of on the east side of Washington. All the rainy side is over by Seattle. The High Desert's known as the Tri-Cities. Anyway, I would grow these cactuses and put them in little pots and then sell them And since we were in the high desert, not many people would buy cactuses because they already had them in their backyard, so it wasn't a very profitable small business, but I did it as a kid, junior high or something. And my mom always laughed about how I grew these cactuses and tried to sell them. We had a raspberry farm thing. Now, I had a lot of, we had kind of a farm. I worked, grew up on a farm moving pipe. Can you believe that? Some of you farmers listening from Idaho would not believe that. But I would move pipe. We had hay, and we'd sell this kind of stuff. But I had a raspberry patch thing that my mom, taught me how to, take care of these raspberries. And we'd pick raspberries all summer long and sell them in these huge flats at the farmer's market. And that was my brother and my business. Couple summers is just selling raspberries. Then the infamous Kohler janitorial eventually evolved. I'm going to go through these quickly, just I'll list them off, but I had a janitorial business in high school and then later in college. The stories go on and on. I'm going to share a couple of those. I had in college, I had a shuttle service where we'd shuttle people to the airport. You're going to hear a story about that. We did wood floor refinishing in law school. My brother and I did some of that to make some extra money later in law school. I started two different internet businesses. One was kind of a healthcare, then was kind of a sales thing, not related to tax and legal, just internet businesses with some partners and with moderate success. I had an air shuttle business. It's kind of a mini airline. Started a mini kind of airline with an airplane doing a shuttle service out of southern Utah. Way funny. Anyway, I'll tell you a story or two about that. And then finally, I started my law and accounting firm with incredible partners, pretty much all solo initially with the law firm, my piece of it. And then Matt Sorensen has come on as my full partner, currently in accounting firm, Liddell Air from the beginning. I had a fledgling accounting practice till Liddell Air joined me. So anyway, then I can't count how many little real estate projects and rental properties. So those are my, kind of funny businesses that I've started, and I'm going to tell some stories here in a minute, but I want to get to some practical, helpful tips. So we'll go back to these 13 to 20 different businesses here, and hopefully I can share something that's going to wow you today. All right, so where I want to start first. Now, I know some of you listening to the show, and I know because I get emails and I talk to people that listen to this show that have very, very mature, successful businesses with many, many employees, and others of you are very successful without employees, independent entrepreneur type thing, doing very well. And sometimes you get a little bored with my basics, but forgive me. I've got to start with a few basics here for just a minute, and I've got a little, some twists on this that I think I even have experienced business owners call me about this very thing of starting a business, and I'll hit you with some deep technical stuff today. But first, the basics. Out there, if you're listening to the show and someone told you to listen to this and you're thinking, I might be an entrepreneur, serial entrepreneur, Kohler, you've started all these businesses in your life and meanwhile went to college for, 11 years of college to get where I was at, where I'm at, and I can't even speak with decent grammar after all that college. But after all this, being an entrepreneur is absolutely critical to building wealth, saving taxes, and just living life to its fullest. And so the first thing I want to talk about is just getting that small business started. You don't have to go out and incorporate or set up an LLC or a corporation, and please don't use an online service. It's not about setting up an entity. It's knowing where, how, and why you're doing it. But that doesn't need to come initially. It's about just getting your business off the ground. Now, in my new book, What Your CPA Isn't Telling You, I have a little section on business planning and setting up a business plan, writing a business plan. I just met with a very, very successful business owner in Hawaii last week, and we're working on a business plan for them for a new venture. That's okay. They're saying, Mark, can you have your intern and your law clerk help me with a business plan? We're going to have a radio show just on business plans within the next month. But I have mature business owners that say, I don't have time to do some little research on this, but I see an opportunity here. Can you knock out a business plan and let's work together on it and keep it in a certain budget? That's very, very common. And I know some of you that have have successful businesses to do better business plans to prevent wasting money on stupid ideas. And in all my years of starting these different businesses, I've had a ton of different stupid ideas. But I want to encourage all of you to pursue a small business idea. Go for it. Get it going. I'm going to tell a story of a stupid business here that's not even on my list that we never did, but we almost did. But try it. Get out there. Make a few bucks. You know, unless it's brain surgery, you're not going to hurt anybody generally. Now, unless you're going to start a bungee jumping school and throw people off bridges, I really want you to know what you're doing first. But start something. Get it going and start a bank account. You might want to register the name as a doing business as. Keep track of the money that comes in. Write it down. Learn. Just open up an Excel little spreadsheet or learn QuickBooks and just get it started. Give our accounting team a little call. Many of you have already talked to Sandy Beecham in my office. She has a team of 4 to 5 accountants. We're constantly hiring because we're growing so quickly, just helping people do their accounting. Not even tax returns. I'm just saying helping you with your accounting. But just start something. Go out and sell some jeans on eBay. Test the waters. Do something. That's my first admonition. That's what I really want to encourage all of you that may be new listeners or new entrepreneurs that are listening to this show. And here's my stupid business idea. You guys are going to laugh. Okay, now this is me and my brother and I, in college, going to University of Utah. Go Utes. Boy, did they suck it up over the weekend. Oh, well. It's going to be a long season. But we were going to Utah, and we're trying to make money every which way. And this is when we had the cleaning business, and so we were cleaning restaurants and grocery stores and buildings and all these different things. We had like 25 employees, and we're doing all this stuff. And I'm going to stand up while I walk around with this guy, my mic here. But we thought we got to bid more state jobs. So we thought, well, if you go to the state website or the federal website, you can see what jobs are available for you to bid on. And this is where women-owned businesses, minority-owned businesses get a leg up, is when you're bidding on state, city, or federal jobs. But my brother and I are like, okay, we got to bid on something. Let's go out and see if we can make some money and shop it out and hire some employees and send out college kids to do this. So we went to the state, offices that have these lists of jobs coming up. And this is a little bit more before the internet. You know, this is, 20 years ago. So we're going for it, and we go up there and we get this list, and one of these jobs was picking up roadkill on the side of the road. Now, this picking up roadkill, dead deer carcasses on the side of the freeway. That was the bid. They needed someone to drive down the freeway and pick up roadkill and then take it to an incinerary and burn it so it was, safe and humane. They didn't have these, animal bodies decaying on the side of the road. This is a normal business. Who's picking these up? There's someone picking these up. I know this sounds crazy to some of you out there, but drive through a mountain town in Utah or Wyoming or Idaho, and you'll see deer on the side of the road. Well, who's going to pick them up? Well, there's a service. So my brother and I, let's do it. So we put together this business plan. We had it all planned out, how many miles, and we were going to hire these farm kids that had trucks, and they were going to drive these routes and pick up these deer carcasses. And anyway, well, we put in our bid, and maybe it was fortuitous, but we never got the bid, and we always wanted to be roadkill specialists. We had like this cool name. I can't remember what it is. My brother's going to laugh that I'm actually sharing this on the show. That was our business idea. And, I know that may sound funny. I know someone's going to come up to me at a workshop or call me or email me and go, Mark, I cannot believe you were going to pick up roadkill for a business. But you know what? Hey, pays the bills, right? Anyway, when you're in college, you'll do anything like that. But anyway, so that was one of our business ideas. So on my little story here of being a serial entrepreneur, I want to say don't think anything is too crazy. You never know, what could work. Okay, now, all right, let's go to another little tip here. I have very experienced small business owners call me up all the time and go, Mark, I'm thinking of starting a new business. Set me up an entity. And I go, whoa, slow down. What do you mean, a new business entity? Okay, well, why? What are you doing that is so big, you know, that you need a new entity. Well, I'm going to try to start selling another product, or I'm going to start selling this or selling that. And I'm like, well, what? And why are you setting up a new entity? Let's just set it up as a DBA of your parent company. And they're like, oh my gosh, Mark, you know, I don't have to set up a new entity to try a new project. No, you don't. And this is why, and I say this humbly for some of you that are listening here, this is why I ask you, don't go on the web and set up an online entity. Call me. Call my partners. We've got, there's four lawyers here that will talk you through it, and we will not set up an entity for you every time you call. We will save you money. And so many people just get online and set up an entity, and this is why we have fixyourlegalzoomentity.com, is because we need to help prevent you from setting up entities you don't know. So my clients trust me. And when I tell them not to set up the entity, they're always shocked. You mean my lawyers tell me not to spend money with them? All right, well, anyway. So I told them, this is my point. If you already own a small company, if you've already got an S corporation or an LLC, let's set up a small business project as an ancillary, doing a DBA, a little trademark. I don't know. Set up a new bank account for it. But you always don't have to set up a new entity. And when you do, we might make it a subsidiary. You know, tomorrow I have a client coming into town, and we are literally having a meeting on setting up some new entities for him, and we're trying to figure out if they need to be a subsidiary or just a DBA. That's our whole meeting. And this client is worth millions. And we're having a meeting about that to make sure we don't overspend on legal accounting headaches that we don't need. And some of you may think, well, I'm an experienced business owner. I already know that. I already know the answer. Well, maybe you don't. Let's talk about it. And so this is a very, very – so if you want to blow your business up, if you want to make more money in your business, this is my tip. I want you to have multiple business ventures, multiple streams of income, multiple products, multiple services. Be developing them constantly. What could you add to your website that you want? I know some of you listening to this show already have a mature, cool business, and you're like, I need to be more diversified. Great. It doesn't mean always setting up a new entity or a new bank account. It just means launching it. Now, will we maybe set up a new entity? For sure. The time may come, but we don't need to rush into it. And that's where having a little consult call every 3 months or 6 months, just twice a year with one of us attorneys or CPAs can help you and guide you through that process. We can be some of your best resources to save you money. So anyway, this is not a sales call. I don't want it to sound like that, but I know I that I have a business consultant. This is another little tip that we're going to come to here in regards to strategic plans. It's my next point. But I have my own business consultant. Yeah. Do you know, tomorrow, it's right here on my calendar. Tomorrow, I have a conference call with my business consultant. Her name's Ahuda. She listens to the show once in a while, so I want to, Ahuda, you rock, give you a little shout out. my partner and I, Liddell, we meet with her at least once a month. It's usually every 3 weeks. We get on the phone with her, and we go through what we're doing in our business. This is a phone call every 3 weeks for an hour. Her hourly rate is more than me. That's right. I know some of you may think my hourly rate of $300 is sick. I know it sounds like my personal business consultant is more per hour than I am. And she's worth every dime. And I meet with her every 3 weeks, my partner and I, and we have education classes that we go to with her team. And every 3 weeks, we talk to her about where our business is going and how the numbers look. Do you know we've made a commitment to her? We will not hire a new employee without her approval. She approves every one of our new employees. That sounds crazy, right? Well, you may say, well, Mark, you consult me. You're an expert. You probably don't need all this support and help, do you? Because you're a serial entrepreneur. Well, guess what? I know enough that I don't know everything. Every time, the more I learn, the more I realize I don't know. And this is why I want to encourage all of you, even if you're a successful business owner, have a coach, have a team, have someone that can help you in your small business. And I'm going to elaborate on that here in one moment and talk about what I called a strategic plan. Okay, well, before we do that, I'm going to tell another little story here. This is a more recent one. This was during my law firm days. This has been in the last 10 years. Some buddies and I got together, and we owned in Cedar City, southern Utah. Some of you have been there. Some of you are clients listening from there right now. Of course, that's where the home office is. But southern Utah is about 2 hours north of Vegas, and it's like our own little India, more affordable labor, affordable space, yada, yada. Matt Sorensen's, of course, out in Phoenix. I'm here in Irvine. But it's not easy to get to Cedar City. You got to drive up and down I-15. There's only one airport. There's a Delta flight that goes to Salt Lake. That's it. Good luck. So a lot of people own private planes out there. So some friends and I, we had a private plane. It was called a Bonanza for any of you pilots, and I know I've got a number of pilot clients that may be listening in. This was a little Bonanza A36TC, meaning turbo. Pretty cool little plane. It's called, literally out there in the world, it's called a doctor killer. Sometimes a lawyer killer, but usually a doctor killer. So us professionals will fly in these stupid planes and we'll run into buildings or typically mountains and kill ourselves. So because they're dangerous. They're very fast. They're faster than these little smaller planes, Cessnas. Anyway, so we had one of these planes, and you can actually seat six in these planes. So we thought, let's start a little shuttle service. We'll fly people to Phoenix, we'll fly people to Vegas, and fly people to Salt Lake, and we'll go when they want to go. And we'll set up this little shuttle service. Now, this is called an FAA Part 91, whatever. They have all these different names for how you can get licensed to fly people in a plane. Now, let me just tell you, it is so hard to work with the FAA, and the rules of flying people around in planes, they go on for books and books and books. It's crazy. You thought working with the IRS was bad, try the FAA. No offense to any regulators out there, but it is brutal. So we tried to start this little plane, this courier service, and it didn't do too well because there are costs of flying a plane. And I had one FAA guy goes, hey, Mark, you want to make $1 million in the airline? Start with $2 million. You're going, you know, and this is why airlines are constantly losing money, because it's so hard to make them profitable. Anyway, so here's the one story. So we had one of our big clients. We were so excited to fly these SUU, and this is Southern Utah University professors. They had to go up to Salt Lake, and they had to go at a specific time. They wanted to fly in, get kind of the private plane service, cruise over to the Capitol, do some things, lobbying or whatever, and then get back on the plane and come back to Cedar City. And we thought, oh, this is great. We can kind of bid our job. You know, we can get our plane. So my partners and I was still running, you know, working my law firm, but a little team, and we were kind of excited to play with this little plane idea. And we thought we'd make millions, which we never did. And so we got these guys on this plane ride to get on the plane and this little plane and go to Salt Lake, and we were charging like a couple hundred bucks a piece, right? So these guys didn't realize that smaller planes have a little more turbulence, especially in the hot summer. They don't have air conditioning. You know, you get wind going through there, and once you get up to about 12 or 13,000 feet, they're pretty comfortable. But the first kind of 8,000 feet, it's not too fun. It kind of sucks because you're it's bumpy, it's hot, and you know, if you're not a small pilot, small airplane pilot, you may not know that it's a little uncomfortable. Now I get a little queasy. I'm kind of get sick out on a boat on a lake, or even not even just the ocean. I'm terrible. But anyway, so I can feel the pain of some of you that have maybe flown in a small plane. But anyway, so we get these guys. My pilot puts them all on the plane, flies them up to Salt Lake. Everything was smooth. It was early in the morning. It was crisp. It's clean. When the air's cold, nothing bad happens. It's really smooth. Well, on the way back, it's the middle of the day. It's hot, and it is totally bumpy all the way back. They're just like boom, 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 flying back. And they probably thought their life was going to pass before their eyes. But this is what a small plane is like. You're just like bouncing around, boom, boom. You've seen several of these movies where you're moving around a lot. Well, that's what it's like. So anyway, these guys start barfing their guts out the whole way back, and they're just dying, and they're like, this is the worst. And they're like hot and they're like this bumpy and they probably thought they were going to die and they're sick. And as soon as they landed, the little pilot opens up the side door and they just like fall out and they're like kissing the ground. Oh, this is the worst. And even though it was inconvenient for these bigger planes like Delta or whatever, they're like, in the timing, they're like, I don't care if you leave it when it's convenient for me. I'm never doing this again. That's the word. So needless to say, that was kind of our turning point in the business where we realized that most professionals or people that aren't used to small planes really weren't going to use the small plane very regularly to get around to Phoenix or Vegas or Salt Lake quickly. And our plane wasn't packed. And when you don't have a packed plane and it's not flying all the time, you start losing money and you're like, this is a waste of time. So we sold the plane and got rid of it. But it was fun to have the plane, too, for us to play around with. But that was one of our business ideas. And so we had a business plan, but we didn't foresee the challenges that it was going to present. So I don't know. I hope that's funny to some of you, but I haven't ever shared that story, even from stage. It's kind of a radio show story that I think is going to have to stay here. But anyway, so, okay, now, I brought it up a moment ago. I want to talk about the strategic plan because strategic planning is something that my business consultant, Mahuda, has taught Liddell and I over and over. She just pounds it into us, and this strategic plan. And you need to carry it with you wherever you go. And so this was so important that this was a theme. This was a major theme in my new book titled What Your CPA Isn't Telling You, and I know many of you have read it. And in the back, I have an appendix where I teach how to use a strategic plan, and I call it the dynamic strategic plan. This is Appendix E as an echo, and it's in the back of my new book. Now, there's a few things I talk about carrying around your strategic plan. Now, for you seasoned business owners, this is absolutely critical. Because no matter how awesome you think you are and how much money you're making, you can always use a strategic plan. Even my multimillionaire clients, I talk to them about using a strategic plan. I carry mine around with me everywhere we go. I will pull it out and look at it when I meet with it tomorrow. I'll be using my strategic plan. Now, for you brand new small business owners, this is a wonderful tool to help you succeed. Even if you've never even sold one thing on eBay yet, you're just getting started, let me explain what the strategic plan is about. It's a little binder. It's a little book. You can buy these little moleskin black books. I'm looking at mine right now. It's just sitting right here in front of my desk. You can get them at the counter at Staples. You just buy one of them, these little books. And ladies, of course, you've seen them. They're a little more decorative and colorful and all this. But guys, just buy a black one or a brown one. They look cool. Put them in your bag. And what you do in this is you write down a number of things. You write down in there your one-week plan, your six-month plan, your one-year plan, and you sit down and go, all right, step one, what are the steps I need to do to get my business off the ground? I need to finish my website. I need to finish my product development. I need to get my business cards ordered. I need to set up my bank account. I need to do this. I need to do that. List what you need to do, but break it into organized pieces, pieces that you are bite-sized. You're not going to bite off more than you can chew. What do you need to do in the next week? What do you need to do in the next month? And just create these little lists. What's your organizational and management issues? How's your product development coming? How are your systems? Do you need to do more training or education yourself? What about your employees, your vendors? And keep track of numbers, management by statistics, which we'll talk about more in a moment. But this strategic plan is something I talk about even with my more advanced business owners. And this is about... even if you're developing a new idea, write down what the steps are that you need to develop and then delegate them. And you can put in there, having Judy do this, having Tom do that, having Bill do this, having Mary do that, and then delegate these things and then follow up with people. This is strategic plan will help your business move forward. Because all of us, we have all these great ideas, but it's so hard to get them to come to fruition. And I've had people, even today, someone asked, Mark, how do you operate on no sleep? How do you get so much done? And I go, hey, I still get 6 hours of sleep every night, 7 hours if I'm lucky. Well, how do you get done? How do you accomplish so much? How do you do it? And I go, well, I create lists and I get things done and I check things off and I just move along. I try to be very, very effective. People say you spend 20% of your time accomplishing 80% of what you do. And we need to flip that around. We need to be so much more effective using 80% of our time effectively, not just 20%. Okay, so a strategic plan is first creating these little lists and then creating the timeline and revisiting your plan regularly. And then step four is managing by the numbers. Track your time, track your numbers, track how many doors you're knocking on, track every little thing about your business. Everything you do can be tracked by a number. That's what Ahuda has taught Liddell and I. And we keep statistics. Every one of our employees, even the ladies or men, we have female and men answering our phone, they have to track how many times the phone rings and what happens on those phone calls. And we track it and report it in staff meetings. Isn't that sick? But we do it, and we learn where our customers are coming from and what we can do better. And I know we're not perfect. And some of you listening to this show goes, you may say, well, Mark, I haven't been able to get a hold of you or whatever. Call the office. Tell them that. They have a procedure to solve it and get you on an appointment with me or whatever the case may be. Because I'm not great sometimes at returning an email or a voicemail. And so the staff has a procedure. So we want to make sure our customers are taken care of, just like you want your customers to get taken care of. So let me share one more little story here, and then I want to come back to the marketing plan. But one last thing on the dynamic strategic plan. There's a whole page here where I talk about having a board of advisors, having that personal consultant that's going to help you get to the next level. That's what we talk about in the dynamic strategic plan. Accountability, having someone push you along. No matter how successful you think you already are, or you really may be, or if you're just getting started, have it be your brother, your sister, your mom, your dad, your friend, your attorney, your CPA, call us, whatever, help us, help you. That's our job. Okay, now another little story. Okay, in my little list of things, I talked about I had a shuttle service. Now, this wasn't a plane shuttle. I told this story of having a plane, but I also had a shuttle. Now, to the airport. Now, I don't think I've told this story in years, but I was going to BYU Hawaii. Yeah, good old. Now, I've got so many Hawaii clients, and I love to go to Hawaii. That's why we're doing a workshop in Hawaii this year. I did last year, too. But I went to BYU Hawaii, which is on the North Shore. Now, it was excruciating to go to BYU. As you know, I'm not a fan. I went to University of Utah, big rival. But BYU Hawaii is pretty cool. How can it not be cool? Even BYU can't screw up a campus in Hawaii, right? It's on the North Shore. It's beautiful. It's right on the... You're surfing every day. You can walk to the beach and surf. Okay, so anyway, love BYU Hawaii. So one of the problems is us Hallies, and this is a term that many of you Hawaiians know I'm talking about, us Hallies going to BYU Hawaii, we don't have cars. Getting a car in Hawaii is kind of a pain. Cars are more expensive there. Believe it or not, you're on an island, and there's not as many cars. So you need a ride everywhere. So you get used to the bus and all this crap. But as a student, you need to get to the airport at a flexible time. And if you do the university shuttle, it's not as flexible again. So my buddy and I thought, hey, let's drive a shuttle to the airport. Now, of course, we didn't go through all the regulatory issues that you probably should have. We had a Volkswagen bus. Now, this was our total cool surfmobile Volkswagen bus. And we were like, hey, we can just drive people to the airport. And I think I totally remember we charged people like 20 or 30 bucks. We'll take you to the airport for 30 bucks. And if there's more people in the bus, it's a little cheaper. And we tried to find these cute girls, and it seemed like we shuttled a lot of girls for some reason. I don't know. Anyway, so we would shuttle these college girls, and once in a while there's a guy. We'd shuttle them to the airport, and we would put them in our Volkswagen bus that would go about 45 miles an hour over the leaky highway over the mountains to Honolulu Airport. And we'd have to leave, this is not efficient. I don't know why people would hire us to do this, because it would take you longer than even the school shuttle, because it was just this totally piece of crap bus. And you could, I'm not kidding you, you could look through the bottom of the bus and see the road going under you because it was so rusted out. This is another thing that happens on the island, is rust with the salt water. And so we'd push boards around and plastic, and it just, you wouldn't fall through the bottom of this bus. Obviously, this was a lawsuit waiting to happen. It's ironic that I ultimately became a lawyer and survived to tell. But this is a classic story. Jared Patching, I don't know if he's ever going to listen to my show. I haven't talked to him in years. But this is mine and Jared's little business, and we drove people to the airport in our Volkswagen bus, and we made money, just enough money to probably pay for our food and have it by, surfing on the North Shore. So it was just so funny. And that was one of my businesses at BYU Hawaii, on the North Shore of Hawaii, was shuttling people in this beat-up 1968 Volkswagen bus driving to the airport. So anyway, okay, now, all right, now let's get to some more meat here. Marketing plan. I hope this has been interesting. But some of you may be laughing your butts off, and some of you may be going, I'm never going to call this Mark Kohler. This guy is psycho. But anyway, we'll see how this plays out. This could be the turning point in my business. It's just going to go down the toilet now that I've shared all these funny stories. All right, so last little tip here, marketing plan. Oh, this is where even my seasoned business owners, you've got to carry around with you a marketing plan. You've got to have a marketing plan. Carry it with you everywhere you go. And in the back of my new book, I have a whole section. This is Appendix F, as in Frank, is the perfect marketing plan. And I go through all the different some branding topics, targeted customers, build your plan, and what are your procedures? What are you doing? And I put real procedures in here. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 25 actual bullet point tips that I've gotten from my radio show and guests over the years, and consultants I've paid thousands to, and ways to market, ways to make money. And if you're going to blow up your business, I have, like that person I told you about at the beginning of the show, he was scared to death to have customers. Some of you, I know, are nervous to have a customer. Some of you cannot get enough customers. A marketing plan will help you get more customers than you can imagine. This is going to help you grow. This is going to help you take your business to the next level. I'm just going to read some of these because I just want to, give you some real meat here. Talk about, do you have a customer referral program? Do you have an internal staff referral program? Do you have a customer holiday and birthday contact list? Are you doing a thank you program? Are you doing surveying? Do you use success stories in your website and in your material? Are you doing seminars and workshops? Do you have a charitable aspect to your business? This is one we want to add into our business. Matt and I have been talking about how to get our charitable projects developed into our business. We're really excited about that. Monthly newsletters, monthly seminars, e-seminars, webinars, YouTube videos. How are you doing with YouTube? Brochures, flyers, business cards, signage, radio and TV. The list goes on and on. I have all these little bullet points, and I hope many of you can use this and help build and use a more powerful marketing plan in your business. So it is so powerful. I am a serial entrepreneur. I it's in my bones. And I was so excited when I asked myself to be my guest on my show today and talk about being a serial entrepreneur. People, you can succeed better in your business with a strategic plan than have a marketing plan that will go and continue to make your business better and better. And I just want to challenge you all to continue your business, keep working it, and don't give up. And you can do it. You can really do it. So, again, a couple final announcements. Catch one of my workshops this fall. I'll tell some more stories if you want. I've got dead people in my stories. I mean, it's crazy. I've got so many more I could tell. Next week is the Open Forum Radio Show. Please check out the open forum. You're going to love it. Send me your questions now. And on the 25th, we're going to be talking marketing with John Riggerrude, and it's going to be a great show. Thanks again for listening. Please spread the word. Send an email around to a friend. Put this on your Facebook. Like me on Facebook. Check out my new surfing video on my Facebook. Please stay in touch and send my newsletter around. I hope to only spread the good word, and I appreciate so much of what many of you that are helping edify me and helping other people by giving them information that you know will change their lives. And so I hope to catch you next week. This has been another incredible Mark Kohler show, and I will be here every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific, changing one life at a time.
Thanks for listening to another hour of refreshing strategies to better live your American dream.
Don't forget to get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.